elsewhere? And the answer is that Srila Prabhupada gave different translations at different times. There's lots of different ways to translate a word or a verse, and Prabhupada didn't always stick to the same one. Mostly where you see translations given for verses in the purports to Srila Prabhupada's books, translations for Bhagavad Gita verses and so on, they're usually put there by the editors. A lot of the time, Srila Prabhupada would just paraphrase a verse or just quote it and not say anything further. And the editors thought it wise to insert translations, which they usually did just right out of the published book. So probably, as a guess, 70% or more, between 70 and 90% of the translations in Prabhupada's purports for verses from Bhagavad Gita and sometimes from other books are just inserted by the editors. Some extra information. As for the Shikshashtakam verses, they're usually where they're translated, where their translations appear, they're taken from the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada gives translation of those verses in the beginning of his Srimad Bhagavatam. And thereafter, when he quoted them, usually the editors just popped it in from there, the translation. But in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada gave new translations, and with editing by Pradyumna Prabhu also. And that's why they're different. Prabhupada translated verses all the time differently, actually. An example is the last verse, the sort of tag verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita. What is that verse? Sri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Yarash Chaitanya Charitamrita Kohe Krishnadas. Prabhupada translated it probably about 40 or more different ways. One I remember, Prabhupada said, the author ends the chapter in the usual way. That was his translation for the verse. Or sometimes he would translate it one way, sometimes another. And I wrote to him and said, can we make it a standard way? And Prabhupada said, yes. Otherwise, he translated it differently every time. So, Shikshashtakam Prabhupada translated differently. Clear? Question answered? Okay. Yes? Was there a question there? Was there a question? No. Yeah, Yugayatam, 12 years or more. That's a, there's a word for that. Dynamic translation, I think, is the word. There are two ways of translating, and one is literal, and one is dynamic. Literal translation means word for word for word for word. That just this, you practically like dictionary translation. This says this, so it means this. This says this, and it means that. That's strictly literal translation. Sometimes some of our books translated into European languages and so on are really bad because they're practically dictionary translations, regardless of whether people will understand the meaning. Dynamic translation tries to get across the essence of what's being said and is less particular about strict equivalence in word for word meanings. So yugayatam means a yuga, and you can calculate what a yuga is. Prabhupada calculates it this many times this many times this many times this many thousands and thousands of years. So that's a yuga. But Prabhupada gives the essence, the bhav, the sense of it, the sense of it, by saying 12 years or more. That's enough. That gives the sense. Acha. That's a literal meaning also. Okay, 12 years. So 12 years. Literal is also literal. But sometimes Prabhupada would take the, would aim at giving the meaning of the thing. At one point, Prahlad Maharaj prays that the people are addicted to listening to cinnamon songs and so on. So, of course, there was no cinnamon in Prahlad Maharaj's days. But Prabhupada's giving the sense that people are like to hear mundane vibrations instead of Krishna Katha. So Prahlad Maharaj says cinema songs. Similarly, the gopis pray, "My dear Lord, as you say in the Bhagavad Gita." So Krishna didn't speak Bhagavad Gita till later. In Vrindavan, he left Vrindavan, then he went here and there and gradually to Kurukshetra and spoke Bhagavad Gita. But the gopis pray to the Lord, as you say in the Bhagavad Gita. That means that Prabhupada is giving the essential meaning of what they're saying by reference to Bhagavad Gita. So that's Prabhupada's prerogative to do. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay. Translation questions. Done. So then we come to these Shikshashtakam verses, which were, Prabhupada said, the only verses written by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes we find some others that are attributed to the Lord, but basically these eight verses, although Lord Chaitanya was a great scholar and had so much to say about, so much to teach, when it came to writing, he left us these eight verses. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that these verses deal with sambandha, avideya, and prayojana. What is, who are we? What is our relationship with Krishna? How do we develop that relationship? And finally, love for Krishna. He says these are the topics. Kaviraj Goswami says that while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying at Jagannath Puri, in the intimate company of Ramananda Roy, Swarup Damodar, he would relish different verses. Sometimes he would compose verses of his own, or sometimes he would recite verses from Shastra or from great devotees and relish the meaning of these verses. Oh, in that context, this Shikshashtakam is given. The essence of all religious principles in Kali Yuga is the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishna Sangopangastra Parshadam Yagair Sankirtana Prayar Yajantihi Sumedasa. Oh, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but he came to give love of Krishna through the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Sankirtana Jagye Kalo Krishna Radham Sheta Sumedapai Krishna Charan. That's basically the same thing. Nam Sankirtan Hoite Sarvanartha Nash Sarva Shubhodaya Krishna Premer Ullas. Simply by chanting this holy name of Lord Krishna, one can be freed from all undesirable habits, all anarthas, all unwanted things. This is the means of awakening all good fortune and initiating the flow of waves of love for Krishna. Then these verses begin. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava maha davagni nirvapanam Shreya Koreva Chandrika Vitaranam Vidyabharujivanam Anandam Buddhivardhanam Patipadam Purnamrita Shadhanam Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtana. We need a path here, I think, so Mataji can get through. Let there be all victory for the chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna,
which can cleanse the mirror of the heart and stop the miseries of the blazing fire of
material existence.
That chanting is the waxing moon that spreads the white lotus of good fortune for all living entities. It is the life and soul of all education. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna expands the blissful ocean of transcendental life. It gives a cooling effect to everyone and enables one to taste full nectar at every step. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says that these, although Kaviraj Goswami says that Lord Chaitanya was relishing different kinds of ecstatic feelings by reciting these verses, it's not just sentimental. It's not simply an expression of sentiments, but there's great philosophical content. Srila Prabhupada goes to great pains to make this point, that bhakti doesn't mean just love, a feeling of love. Usually that translation is seen in scholarly circles, that bhakti is the yoga of love, the path of love. And that's, even it's said that gyan is the path of knowledge and bhakti is the path of love. Gyan is for people of the head, bhakti is for people of the heart. These catchphrases are found. But in Bhagavatam, Gyanavairagya-yuktaya, Tachchadidhana Muniyo Gyanavairagya-yuktaya, Pashyantyatmani Chatmanam, Bhaktya-shruta-grihitaya. Bhakti is not just sentiment, but it's associated with knowledge and renunciation. The devotees are not just sentimentalists, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made clear when he met with Prakashananda Saraswati. Prakashananda Saraswati, you know, Maharaj, what are you doing? You appear to be a respectable sannyasi, but you're what's with this singing and dancing thing? You're hanging out with these sentimental Vaishnavas and singing and dancing. You're supposed to be, now you've taken sannyas, you're supposed to be studying Vedanta Sutra and getting serious about life. So this doesn't compute. What are you doing? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that this is my duty, that my Guru Maharaj told me that, sir, you're just a fool. You can't study Vedanta Sutra and understand the meaning. Better for you just to chant this Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And I found that by chanting Hare Krishna, these feelings came, and I became like a madman. And I went to my Guru Maharaj and asked, what's happening to me? And he said to them, this is very good. This is love for Krishna. So don't mind, but I'm following what my Guru Maharaj said. And the Prakashananda, yeah, but you know, you can chant Hare Krishna, that's all right, but still you should. What's wrong with studying Vedanta Sutra? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu basically explained the real meaning of Vedanta Sutra in terms of Krishna consciousness. With Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya also, after listening to his explanation of Vedanta Sutra for so many days, he was silent. And Prakashananda Saraswati, let's get it right, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said that, sir, are you understanding what I'm speaking? Because you're not asking any questions. I don't know if you're understanding it or not. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, I understand the sutras all right, but I can't make head or tails out of your explanations. Your explanations are totally confusing. But the sutras are no problem for me. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a sharp cookie. He could understand that something was going on. So he asked them, all right, then what meaning do you get from these sutras? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained them all without even touching Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's previous explanations. He explained them in terms of their direct meaning. So the Vaishnavas are not deficient in philosophy. And Prabhupada makes the point that devotional service is not just sentimental feeling or imaginative ecstasy, nor inaction. People think that you become a devotee, you give up all activities, and you just sing and you dance and you relish your feelings of divine love. But Prabhupada said, no, that's not it. He said, devotional service is practical activity in the service of the Lord. That's actually devotional service. It's not sentiment, although sentiment is there. But it's not simply sentiment. But it's practical action in Krishna's service on the basis of transcendental knowledge. So in this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us some understanding of our actual position. Chaito Darpana Marjanam, cleansing of the mirror of the mind. Darpana means mirror, and Chaita means consciousness, mind. Chaita Darpana Marjanam, cleansing. What's the implication? If we say that it cleanses the mind, what's implied there? That the mind's dirty, yeah. That's the implication. That's the implication. If someone says close the door, it's implied that the door is open. So cleansing of the mirror of the mind implies that the mind is covered with junk. That's our actual present position. What's the first point of the dirt on the mind? First point is that I'm thinking I'm this body. False ego. False ego means I'm thinking I'm something that I'm not. One turns away from Krishna and turns toward Maya. And immediately, dirty consciousness. Consciousness is pure when it's directed toward Krishna. There's a painting at 22nd Avenue shows Krishna standing with his flute and Prabhupada is chanting kirtan. And there's a caption that said Krishna consciousness under Krishna. And Prabhupada noted, yes, under Krishna it's Krishna, and under him it was under Prabhupada consciousness. So Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the living entity is consciousness. So that consciousness is to be directed toward Krishna. Then it's pure consciousness. Otherwise, directed away from Krishna is polluted consciousness, a dirty consciousness. So the subtlest point of that dirty consciousness is called false ego, in which I think that I'm something other than what I am. I don't think I'm the servant of Krishna. I think I'm the master of the material energy. And I identify with this material energy. Asango hiyam purusha, the living being has nothing to do with matter. But he falsely identifies himself as being a product of matter. Even make fancy scientific theories, how consciousness arises from matter, and they, you know, diagrams and published peer-reviewed papers and equations and formulae and diagrams of chemical development and so on. And that's all a sophisticated way of saying we are products of matter, which is the first point of ignorance. The fundamental basis of ignorance is this false concept that I'm this body or that I'm a product of matter. And that's published as highly developed scientific knowledge in Kali Yuga. So that dirt is on the mind. The mind is polluted in that way by false identification. Then I'm this body, and this is mine, this is my family, this is my community, this is my nation, this is my money, this is my this is my that. Janasya mohoyam aham mam eti. I'm thinking in terms of all of these things. And I'm thinking in terms of karma, I'm thinking in terms of gan, thinking about material enjoyment, so many desires, thinking about so many ideas by mental speculation, culminating in the idea that I'm one with the absolute. So this is all dirt on the mirror of the mind. Kam, krodh, lobh, mada, moha, matsarja. It's another way of categorizing different kinds of dirt. So many bodily designations. I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, I'm with the Congress Party, I'm with the BJP, I'm Indian, I'm American, I'm young, I'm old, I'm this, I'm that. Upadis, these bodily designations, are all celebrated. You know, you've got flags for them and banners and awards and plaques and all of this stuff for various kinds of upadis, uniforms, all celebrating our false designations. So it gets quite thick. The mirror is so thick you can hardly see that there's a mirror there. So Cheto Dharpana Marjana. Marjana means cleansing. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the example of cleansing when he cleansed the Gundicha temple, Gundicha Marjana. And you know the story, how they swept it and they rinsed it and then they swept it again and rinsed it again, and they were collecting the big junk and then the little junk and then the little pieces of dirt and then the dust that was left, and still there's more. That's until it was cool and clean. That means seriously cleansing and cleansing. So many brooms and so many mops and pots of water and lots of chanting, just to cleanse and cleanse and cleanse. When Kali Yuga, a lot of cleansing is needed. Sometimes Prabhupada said that straightening us out was like trying to clean coal. Tough job. But here it's not quite as bleak as that. Cleansing of the mirror of consciousness, the mirror of the mind. Sarvapadi vinirmuktam tatpratena nirmalam. This is devotional service to get rid of all these upadis. Sarva upadi vinirmuktam, to be completely freed from all of these false designations. Tatpratena nirmalam. We see in our hosts have provided soap in the rooms. At least in my room, there's nirmal soap, yeah. So, tat pratena nirmalam. to get rid of all the dirt, nirmal. Clean. People are very attentive. They're buying soaps and perfumes and so on to make their bodies clean. And they spend time, you know, soaping up in the shower. But then their minds are a mess. They don't recognize that there's a need for a cleansing process. They're so, just like a person in the mode of ignorance, they don't even bother with the soap. Water is something like unwanted. You know, they'll just wear the same clothes for weeks and weeks and sometimes months. And they'll take a bath when it rains. Because there's so much in the mode of ignorance that they don't even see that they're dirty. So the person who's not so ignorant sees that, yes, the body is dirty, so it needs to be cleansed. The Brahmins take baths, you know, 3 times a day just to stay clean. But even the people who are taking their bath nicely with soap and water don't see how dirty the mind is. They don't even see it. They think it's normal. They think to have all this junk in the mind is normal or even good. They promote it. If you're, National Independence Day and da-da-da-da-da-da, all things to promote the upadis, make them strong, get those upadis firmly planted in the heart. I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and all of that. Because I'm an American and I'm proud to be an American. So on. Those upadis have got to be there. And then on the other side, then lust is like celebrated. So many novels, so many television shows and movies. Actually celebrating lust, and they've gotten kinkier. Now they celebrate homosexual lust and this kind of lust and that kind of, you know, perverted reflections of perverted reflections we were discussing yesterday. And again, making the case that this is normal, and again, scientific papers are produced to support the normalcy of being totally covered by passion and ignorance. But tada rajastamo bhava kamalo padayaschaye chaite taranabhidham stitam sattve prasidati. As the mind becomes cleansed and one becomes freed from passion and ignorance, then lust and greed diminish practically to nil. That's Chaitu Dharpana Marjana. The mind is cleansed by so many kinds of bhakti yoga, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Bandhanam. All of this is cleansing. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave special importance to Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Sankirtan means the complete kirtan, perfect kirtan. The congregational chanting of the holy name. Or Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said the kirtan should be perfect. Prabhupada explained one time, he was talking about the kirtan parties on the street, and he was giving the picture how it should be done. There should be this many mridangas, and there should be this many kartal players, and there should be flags, and there should be a dancer up front, and there should be this many men. And the most important thing, Prabhupada said, is that all the members of the kirtan party should be pure devotees. That's the most important thing. Sankirtan. Kirtan is perfect when the holy name is chanted by pure devotees. Now there's a big kirtan fad. Kirtan, yeah, I guess fad. Fads don't mean they come and go. There's a lot of enthusiasm for kirtan in America and other places among those who are not devotees of Krishna. But it's not sankirtan. It's not perfect kirtan because it's not pure. Pure means that one avoids 10 offenses while chanting the holy name of the Lord. For example, to think that the demigods and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are on the same level, that the names of the demigods and the names of Krishna are just as good. So you can chant Krishna, Krishna, you can chant Shiva, Shiva. So you do a little Hare Krishna kirtan, a little Om Namo Shivaya kirtan, a little Ganesh kirtan. And you know, as long as you do it with bhav, then the audience will go, wow, and have a fantastic experience. But that's not sankirtan. That's not recommended in Shastra. Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama. Krishna, 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 not anybody else. Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Eva, Kevalam, only Krishna. Kirtanat Eva, Krishnasya, Mukta Sangha Parambhaje. One time there were some advertisements in Back to Godhead, some propaganda in Back to Godhead showing different kinds of normal people chanting Hare Krishna. And people with testimonials like, my day goes so much better since I took up chanting. Or I get to sleep so much more quickly. I have no anxieties since I took up chanting. Or I don't yell at the kids as much now that I'm chanting. You know, so it was brought to Prabhupada because some of the devotees thought this was awfully mundane. And so a discussion ensued. And the publisher explained that, you know, we want to popularize chanting and get people chanting. And in the beginning, you also encouraged everyone to chant. And you explained that there were no hard and fast rules, that anyone could just chant and so on. So we want to get people chanting. And Prabhupada said, that's all right, but they have to come to the process. They have to come to the process. Chanting is not an isolated phenomenon. And we go to we pay our $20 or whatever it is, and we go to a hall and we chant in ecstasy for a few hours, and then we go back to normal affairs. There's a process of devotional service of which the kirtan is an essential part or the central practice, but there's a process to come under to associate with devotees, to come under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, to follow some regulative principles, and so on. And all these things are explained in the Nectar of Devotion, how to practice devotional service. And in chanting the holy name, there are 10 offenses to be avoided. So that makes the sankirtan pure. Otherwise, adulterated kirtan or pseudo kirtan, Kali kirtan, Durga kirtan. But Krishna kirtan means pure kirtan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unadulterated by other things. That's Sri Krishna Sankirtana. Sri Krishna, Sri means the goddess of fortune. So we're chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada, of course, Hare can be taken in different ways, but Prabhupada takes it as calling out to Srimati Radharani. So she's the original goddess of fortune. Krishna is not alone. Krishna means Krishna with his energies. And his main internal energy is present as Srimati Radharani. So by chanting,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We're glorifying Krishna with his eternal pleasure energy. So Radha Krishna is there in the form of this Maha Mantra, Sri Krishna Sankirtana. Cheto Darpana Marjanam and Bhava Maha Dava. Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapana. Bhava means what? Material existence. Bhava. Bhava is different. That's something else again. Bhava we like, bhava we don't. Bhava is transcendental ecstasy. And bhava is material existence. Bhava Mahadavagni. Mahadavagni, the great forest fire of material existence. Srila Prabhupada points out that these forest fires are wild. They can't be extinguished by ordinary means. Your bucket brigade, as Prabhupada put it, or these days your fire trucks and fire engines. When you get these forest fires, they're ineffective. Some years ago I saw there was a forest fire, there were forest fires in New Zealand or Australia. Those were particularly difficult because there are these gum trees, eucalyptus trees, so they're full of eucalyptus oil. So the tree catches fire and the sap, the oil, just goes in every direction, and that catches fire. It's oil, it's like flammable. And then it's sprayed in all directions, so it's like a weapon practically. These days the army, they don't have to use nuclear weapons, they have these weapons that spray petroleum in fine particles in every direction. That's just as effective as your atomic weapon in terms of causing destruction, but it doesn't leave radioactivity, so it's a weapon of choice in many circumstances. The point is that these trees were exploding, and then the fires would jump, and they'd jump across the road, and they'd catch to the next grove of trees, and just in every direction the trees were just an enormous conflagration of unstoppable flames. And what can you do to extinguish such a fire? They call out the army, they call out every available means, and still they're battling against this fire. And mostly they just evacuate people in every direction. And the winds blow, and then further. So Mahadavagni is like that. Maha means enormous, great. Mahadavagni, the great forest fire of material existence. That's the situation that we're in. We're not in a manageable situation. And sometimes there's a, what do they call it, emergency management. There's some sort of emergency, but you manage it. Then there are emergencies that are unmanageable. They couldn't manage the tsunami. What management could you do? Just everyone's getting washed away. They couldn't manage the World Trade Center disaster. How do you manage buildings like that collapsing in 10 seconds? And who can manage a forest fire? So our present situation is practically, it's out of control. Avasham prakritir. Avasha means helpless. The whole material energy is totally under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we're totally under the control of the material energy. We're being pushed from one body to the next, one lifetime to the next. And what control do we have? We're helpless, like animals in the forest when there's a forest fire.
how can one escape? That's the actual position. The material world is such a fearful place that there can be fire, there can be this, at every moment. Padam, padam. Yadvi padam. At every moment there's danger. At any moment anything can happen. You think you're safe, you think everything's secure, you think that you have it all together, and just like that, Krishna can tear everything apart, or material nature can tear everything apart. There's no safety in the material world at all. Security is not there. It's the illusion of security, but not actual security. Bhavamaha davagni nirapana. And not only from one lifetime to another, but sometimes a human life, sometimes lower species of life. When you're in the lower species of life, where's your control? In the human life, at least, you can try and move this way, move that way. You get into a tree life, all you can do is stand there, and you can try and move your branches a little in one direction or toward the sun. That's about it. The animals, what can they do? Can't even ask, you know, how did I get into this situation? What do I do now? I'm stuck. And we're sometimes getting to that situation. Sometimes we're going to the heavenly planets, and that's another problem. We get carried away. How great it is, how wonderful it is, how what enjoyments. So we forget Krishna this way, we forget Krishna that way. Forget the purpose of life this way, we forget that way. Sometimes we're in so much misery, we can't even think. Sometimes we're in so much enjoyment that we can't even think. But the real story is that we're being carried from lifetimes to lifetime to lifetime to lifetime in this forest fire of birth and death. Bhava Maha Dabagni, but Nirvapan. The Sri Krishna Kirtan, performed under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, extinguishes the forest fire of birth and death. Sangsara dava nalavida loka tranaya kagra nirgana ganatam. The spiritual master extinguishes the forest fire of birth and death. And this is the method through the by distributing the holy name of Krishna, by Mahaprabhu Kirtana Nritya Gita, distributing the holy name, teaching his disciples to chant the holy name of Krishna, he extinguishes. It's not simply a sentiment that by some sort of mystic magic, but there's a process. Again, it's not just sentiment. Oh, Swamiji. But it's there's a process. The bona fide spiritual master teaches on the authentic process of spiritual realization. And by following that process, the faithful disciple becomes free from the forest fire of birth and death. Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapana. And Shreya Kaureva Chandrika Vitarana. Shreya means the ultimate benefit in life, which people don't know. People are mostly interested in immediate benefits or the long-term benefits, you know, how will my investment pay off over 30 years? That's their idea of long-term benefit. But they don't see the ultimate benefit. Even if my investments pay off and I become rich or I have good savings for my old age, that doesn't solve my problems. So Shreya means ultimate benefit, long-term benefit. Shreya kore eva chandrika vitaranam. The chandrika, the moon, is distributing light, which is very cooling. During the day, the sun gets very hot and one is suffering. And then when the moon comes out, spreads cooling rays, and especially the lotuses unfold in the rays of the moonlight. The lotuses are all folded up, and then at night the moon comes out and the lotus expands. Or another explanation is that one sees the beautiful white lotus illuminated in the by the rays of the moon. So this long-term benefit is compared to the distribution of moonlight that opens up these white lotuses. Shreya Koreva Chandrika Vitaranam. Prabhupada expresses that it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. Again, not literal word for word, but this is the purport, the essence that we're meant to get. The scholars translate everything in such a way that it's absolutely accurate and you don't get anything out of it. You can read these scholarly translations. They're very exact, precise. And the scholar really doesn't know what's happening. But Srila Prabhupada is giving the essential meaning in such a way that we can pick it up. So, Shreya Koreva Chandrika Vitaranam and Vidya Vadujivanam, the life of all transcendental knowledge. Vidya means knowledge. What knowledge is not generally known. People think that ignorance is knowledge, and that lots of ignorance is lots of knowledge. They go to a college or university where they can immerse themselves in more and more bewilderment, and that's taken as knowledge. A person goes to school, vidyalaya, but it's avidyalaya. He's thinking, I'm this body, that I'm a good citizen of my country, that I'm I can eat nicely and I can have a happy life here in this world. I once had a copy of the book for teaching students in Uttar Pradesh Hindi, and it had a nice little poem in it, and the poem was about how nice it is and how we at home we have such a nice family and we have nice food and we have nice this and nitya sukhi pariwara, we have our eternally happy family. And it was total maya. As soon as the kid learns to read, he learns to be bewildered more and more by the illusion of being happy in this material world. And taking that happiness as the goal of life and making greater and greater arrangements by your career and by yours, by science and by money and by progress, we can have a better and better life. That's called avidya. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that the more one becomes educated, the more he becomes like an ass. So real vidya is spiritual knowledge. Adhyatma vidya vidyanam. The Lord says, of all kinds of knowledge, I'm spiritual knowledge. That's actual knowledge. Adhyatma vidya. Vidyam cha yas tad vedo bhyam saha. Avidyayam rityum tirtva vidyayam rityum ashnute. Ishupanishad says, one has to know what is what? That this is ignorance and this is knowledge. One has to see them side by side. Just Vyasadeva, he saw the personality of Godhead along with his material energy. He got the complete picture. There's not only this world, but there's the controller of the world. The world is like the shadow of the Lord's spiritual energy. The Lord has his superior energy, he has his inferior energy, he has his marginal energy. We're the marginal energy and we've looked the wrong way, so we're in the material, inferior energy. One has to know everything side by side. What is ignorance? What is knowledge? Knowledge becomes clear in contrast to ignorance, just as the foreground becomes clear in relation to the background. So, all right, we have to know what is what, how to add sums and how to read and some things that belong to this world. But the most important thing is to know is that this world is not our real home, that we're meant to get out of this world. Avidyayamrityum tirtva, we have to get out of this world of ignorance. Vidyayamritam ashnute, out of the world of birth and death, and taste the nectar of immortality in devotional service to Krishna. So vidyavadu jivanam, this is actual knowledge. And that knowledge is alive when one is Krishna conscious. Vidyavadu jivanam. Otherwise, the knowledge is compared to a dead body. And our attempts at material advancement are like the decoration of a dead body. However nicely you decorate the dead body, it's still a corpse. So however we advance in material civilization, however wonderful we make it, without Krishna consciousness, it's dead. Dead and deadly. Jivanam sarvabhuteshu, Krishna is the life of all that lives. So he's the life of real knowledge. And janayati ashu vairagam gyanacha yadavaitam. Therefore we see that through the Sankirtan movement, people develop real knowledge. They know very quickly. I was thinking I was that. I think I was thinking I was this body. I was thinking so many foolish things. Now I know what I am. And simply by chanting Hare Krishna, people develop spiritual knowledge. Vidyavadu jivanam. And anandam buddhivardhanam. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna increases the ocean of ananda, transcendental happiness. Ambuti. Srila Prabhupada mentions that the ocean is fixed. He would be speaking in Los Angeles, and he'd say the ocean has its limit, otherwise we'd all be washed away. But the anandam buddhivardhanam, the ocean of bliss, is the ocean that expands. That's explained in the fourth chapter of Adi Lila Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Krishna's pleasure potency is ever increasing, how Krishna's blissful nature is always increasing. By devotional service. Devotional service means increasing. It's dynamic. In the material world, there's actually no increase. There's the illusion of progress. But no one gets anywhere. We can just keep going around and around, birth and death. And we get happiness. There's a cycle. You get happiness and then disappointment. Happiness and then bitterness. Marriage and then divorce. You can't go on enjoying. You probably gave the example I was hearing the other day that you're eating something very nice and enjoying. And then you get to a point, someone said, would you like more? You say, no. Because the same thing that was so relishable and tasty 3 minutes ago, now it's like, couldn't think about eating anymore. And if they forced you, you'd go, horrible. Like it's not ever increasing. It's limited. It increases to a certain point, and then it gets to the end, and that's it. Or it becomes, and it's happiness in the mode of passion. It's like nectar in the beginning, and then at the end, it's poison. And it's not ananda, actually ananda. Ananda means eternal, real ananda. And ananda means unlimited, like an ocean. Not, what is that, Vidyapati's gives that song that it's, I'm getting some happiness from family life, from being with my wife and my children. I'm getting some happiness. It's like water, like a little drop of water in the desert. what is the value of that drop of water in the desert? It's nothing. You see these, you know, some classic Western, and some guy is out there with his abandoned Jeep, and the sun is beating down, and he's been stranded in the desert, and he's ragged and scraggly and just about to die. And if you come with your little eyedropper and give him some water, what is the use of that? Almost like torture. So we're getting some happiness and from the association of wife and children and family members and this and that. And Vidyapati says it's like a little drop of water in the desert. That much. It's not Anandambuti, not the ocean of happiness that's found in Krishna consciousness. And not only is Krishna consciousness like an ocean of happiness, but Anandambuti Vardhanam, it's always increasing. It gets better and better and better. Chanting, therefore we don't get tired at all. We've been chanting for so many years. We've been chanting for so long. It's been half an hour. Chanting and chanting. Could we chant something else? I was just in Ljubljana. There was a kirtan festival. Our Madhava Prabhu was leading kirtan. An hour, one tune, one mantra, an hour, hour and a half. And nobody said, oh, could you please change the tune? Could you please change the mantra? Could we take a break? Just on and on. Every additional chanting of the mantra becomes better and better and better and better. Anandam buddhivardhanam. And pratipadam purnamrita asvadanam. Pratipadam means at every step. Purnamrita asvadanam. Asvadana means tasting. One is tasting at every step. Purnamrita, full nectar. Not half amrita. Purnamrita. Pradipadam purnamrita asvadanam. What is that? Vishvam purnam sukhayate. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the devotee experiences the whole world to be a place of transcendental happiness. Not because he's enjoying material facilities, but because he's relishing pradipadam purnamrita, the full nectar of chanting the holy name of the Lord, of devotional service to the Lord, asvadanam. He's relishing. There are so many different kinds of tastes. It's not like the impersonal ananda. The impersonal ananda is monotonous by design. Their idea is to attain oneness with the Lord. And in that oneness, there should be no difference between subject and object, between the seer and the seen, between the devotee and the Lord, between the anything and anything else, because all these varieties are maya, so they want oneness. And therefore, their business is to try to get free from varieties. Variety means maya. They want oneness. And so they'll go on chanting, om, 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 om. And their idea is to merge into that oneness. But in that oneness, there's no taste. There's no variety. And what kind of taste is there without variety? Eating means variety. After a while, khichdi, 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 you start like, could we have at least a little chutney or a little pickle or something? There's that, what is that? That preparation is not even spicy, like khichdi, but without spices that they take for if you're doing a sacrifice or some. It's tapasya. To eat food with no spice and no taste, that's It's austerity. So their ananda is more like austerity. No taste, no variety. Getting, as soon as a little variety enters the picture, it's maya. They have to have some variety anyway, so they read Srimad Bhagavatam or they do something from the world of devotional service just to put some variety in there, because you can't go on om, om, om. You have to have something. But even though, but they can't really relish it because they think it's maya. But ultimately, we have to transcend all of this to get to where there is no variety. So no variety means no taste. No taste means no ananda. And what to speak of expanding of ananda. It's really monotony. And therefore, it's, among other things, difficult to sustain. You get these histories of yogis. They meditate for 80,000 years, and then they fall down. Or they attain perfection, and then they fall down. Aruya krishchena patantyadho nadrita yushmadangra. Because they neglect the actual place where the nectar is, the lotus feet of Krishna. They want to obliterate all variety and get to one unadulterated bliss. But that bliss is not bliss. Not actual bliss, because no varieties. But aswadana, pradipatam purnamrita, at every step, there's some different kind of taste, the taste of hearing, the taste of chanting, the taste of hearing about Krishna's childhood pastimes, taste of hearing about Krishna's boyhood pastimes, Krishna's leelas in Vrindavan, Krishna's leelas in Kurukshetra, Krishna's leelas in Mathura, Krishna's leelas in Dwarka, Hastinapur, his pastimes with the gopis, his pastimes with the Pandavas, his pastimes as a fish, his pastimes as a tortoise. All different tastes. All different tastes. Sometimes Krishna's killing the demons, that's one kind of taste. Sometimes Krishna's dancing with the gopis, that's another kind of taste. Sometimes he's having fun with the cowherd boys, another kind of taste. Pradipadam. At every step, there's some taste. The devotees are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, so many different kinds of taste, tasty subject matters. Pradipadam purnamrita shradanam. And in the holy name of Krishna, everything is there. There's no difference between Krishna's name, Krishna's pastimes. Therefore, it's not that while chanting Hare Krishna, one has to think of some pastime, or one has to think of some picture of Krishna, or one has to think of this, because there's no difference between the holy name of Krishna and Krishna's form, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's everything. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, everything is revealed. Everything's automatically manifest. Abhinnatam namanamino. Everything will be disclosed, revealed, experienced. If one simply hears and chants the holy name of Krishna. Pradipatam purnamrita svadhanam and sarvatma snapanam. It's like a bath for the complete living entity, the complete soul, or for all living entities. The kirtan, the Haridas Thakur, there was some sound. What is that sound? Oh, that's the sound of the all the living entities echoing the holy name. The trees are also taking part in the kirtan. All the living beings. No one's excluded. Prabhupada said, no one comes to the kirtan, you chant in the room, the four walls will also hear. So many spiders, so many microbes, so many ants. They'll also benefit from the holy name. Sarvatma snapanam. There are various kinds of human welfare programs, or programs to uplift the poor, or programs for these people or those people, or something for the dolphins, something for the whales. But it's focused. It's only, you know, something for these people in Peru, or something for these people in Malaysia, or something for these the dolphins off the coast of Greenland, or whatever it is. Or there are different mundane welfare projects that are in another ways aimed at, these are mundane also, but it's aimed at some specific group at the expense of some other group. But the whole world can bathe in the kirtan of the holy name of Krishna. Sarvatma snapana. Param Vidyate Shri Krishna Sankirtan. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave all glories to the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Some questions? Any question? Or comment? Yes.
When, if we find ourselves being subjected to the ocean of emotions or feeling ourselves being covered, that at that time we should really increase our hearing and chanting as the remedy for the onslaught.
We should always increase our hearing and chanting. But especially when there's difficulty or mayas, we perceive maya chasing after us. And the holy name of Krishna is the real shelter for the devotee.
Thank you.
Maharaj, you were mentioning how that many groups are chanting Hare Krishna, but without following the process. But also there's the three stages of chanting, the offensive, the clearing, and the pure. So we don't have control over that, so how do we stay pure ourselves?
If we follow the process, then we'll come to the second stage. We start offensive, but because we're following the process means trying to avoid 10 offenses, that's the process. Then I'm chanting in the association of devotees, I'm rendering service, I'm following some regular principles. So gradually I'll come to the clearing stage, because under proper guidance, I'm following the process. I'm chanting, and I'm doing things that support the chanting or support the way of life the chanting is meant to bring about. So by chanting, I gradually come to this. And we see that people who chant in the association of devotees and come under proper guidance, their life changes. They become Krishna devotees. They give up bad habits. Their whole life changes. But those who simply take part in a blissful kirtan performance without proper guidance, even the leaders of that kirtan, we know they have difficulty with the basic things that a neophyte ISKCON devotee overcomes, because they're not in the process, or because the process they're in is not clear or pure. It's not Krishna, Sri Krishna Sankirtan. The recommended medicine is Sri Krishna Sankirtan. And that also, in the association of devotees, Prabhupada, in that first address, the chanting should be heard from the lips of the pure devotee of the Lord. Then it will be effective. So that, it's good, people are chanting Hare Krishna, it's like a little hope, but Prabhupada said, unless they come to the process, Prabhupada said it will become sahajya. They'll be in ecstasy, they'll be in bliss, and then they'll kiss and hug, and so on. Or so many other, the anartha upasama will not happen. That's mentioned, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that one gets freed from all anarthas, all the unwanted things in the heart will be cleansed away by the chanting. When it's performed under proper guidance, and when we're in the process. Otherwise, there'll be struggle. We'll be chanting, but the anarthas are still there and hanging on, or we're trying to cultivate both. That's also there. The sahajas, they chant Hare Krishna, and it's almost a tool for increasing their anarthas, or for accommodating, or bringing forward their anartha program. They're attached to women. That's an anartha, an unwanted thing that they're attached to, unrestricted sex life. And so then they chant Hare Krishna like Haridas Thakur so that they can attract women for illicit sex life. So the thing that should be the cleansing process for them is the way to get more dirty. They're not actually chanting Hare Nam. It's a reflection or a
Nam pas, not even. Nam aparad. It's nam aparad. They're doing this offensive thing in the name of chanting the holy name. They're trying to use Krishna as their agent for increasing their sex life. Oh, my Lord, you're so kind that you appeared in my in your holy name, and when I chant that holy name, I can attract women and enjoy the pleasures of this body. Where's the cleansing process there? Just the opposite. So instead of Shuddha Nam, it's Pseudo Nam. It's not the actual thing. So it's good. People are chanting, and we can encourage them, please chant. But Prabhupada said they have to. Our task is to bring them to the process. That you're chanting, and from there we go further. How to chant. How to become a devotee of Krishna. Manmana bhava madbhakta. Anything else? We're just about out of time. In fact, we are out of time. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Glorious to Srila Prabhupada. You have a question? Okay. Kids get special
dispensation. I just said that the mind is polluted by false identification. So is it not that the mind is also polluted by prakriti and self-gratification?
Okay, your phone rang after 9 o'clock. You're okay. Mm-hmm. No, there was a minute earlier I would have taken it. Let's have that question again.
Maharaj, as you said, the mind is polluted by false identity and identification. So isn't that that the mind is also polluted by prakriti and self-gratification?
Polluted by prakriti. Yeah, false identification means I'm identifying with prakriti. What is this body? What's it produced from? Prakriti, right? Material nature. This body is a product of material nature, and I identify with this body, and then I want to gratify the senses of which the body is constituted. So it's all a package. Is that okay? Okay, good question. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Drag him into the picture, he's got enough to do.
Idiot when it comes to sound system and so forth. I'm actually, this is my first time doing anything. So, anyway.